will continue interviewing role players and individuals from the World Halal Travel Summit in Abu Dhabi, and I'm honored to have with me one of the presenters. In fact, he has made two presentations and there's still a third one to come. Nabil Sharif, director of Serendipity TaylorMade, and he's from the United Kingdom. Nabil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
You've made a number of presentations and very professionally presented and also very well researched.
Thank you very much. We've been in the halal industry since the very beginning, since the leisure sector of the halal market has evolved. And our aim here is not to drive business for our business and, you know, get more and more clients on board. We're here to raise awareness in the halal market. That's our ultimate goal. We're here to speak to hoteliers. We're here to speak to local ground handlers, to national organizations, to encourage them to embrace the Muslim traveler. We need that right now. We're at that position where we are growing, and the stakeholders in the industry need to speak up, and we need to be able to convince a lot of these stakeholders in the industry that we are a very, very viable currency. We have a lot going for us, and we want to travel.
Is it all about increasing the market so that more money is made, or is there a genuine concern about serving the interests of Muslim travelers?
Well, nobody is in business to do it for free. You know, everybody, there is a commercial element to everything. Otherwise, if there isn't a commercial element, then we cannot grow this industry. But as a traveler, I'm a traveler at heart. I've traveled since I was a very young child. Alhamdulillah, I've been very, very lucky. I've been very blessed in that respect. And travel does encourage Muslims to see the world. They encourage them to solve a lot of the problems that we have in our ummah, we have in our world right now. And raising awareness is definitely something we need to do. We need to provide a solution for Muslims. You know, Muslims like to travel. We are born travelers in our past, in our history, we are born travelers. And if we don't provide Muslims with the opportunities and the facilities to do that, then we're not going to be travelers. We're going to be very insular. We're going to be very close-minded. And that's something that is a danger for our future generations. So we need to lay those baselines now. And if we don't do that, you know, who knows where the future's going to end up. But every effort we make right now to encourage Muslims to travel, where they can find places to pray, where they can find halal food, where they are comfortable, whether it is for leisure, whether it is for charity work, whether it's for business, we want to make those strides.
You spoke about the fact that you've been involved in the industry from its very inception. How old is the halal industry in a formalized sense?
In terms of the leisure industry, I believe it's only about 5 or 6 years old. Obviously, Hajj and Umrah and the pilgrimage side is a very different element. We don't mix leisure and your pilgrimage. Your pilgrimage is your soul. We never say, don't go for Hajj, go for a holiday, because it's completely different things. You should never, ever, ever mix the two. Those that have the ability to go for Hajj and Umrah, that is your personal choice and your personal ambition. On top of that, you know, there are other places that you can travel to, whether it's Masjid al-Aqsa, whether it's going to some of the Islamic sites in Jordan or in Morocco and seeing the Islamic heritage. This is part of our history. You know, if we don't know about this now, we will lose it, and our future generations will lose it as well. So we see a very different line and a very specific line between Hajj, Umrah, pilgrimage and leisure. So leisure, I believe, has only been around for about 5 or 6 years. Obviously, pilgrimage has been around for 1400 years, so the modern version of that is certainly a different market.
In terms of from the United Kingdom, are Muslims in the United Kingdom traveling a lot? Do they travel within the United Kingdom and to different parts of Europe? What are the most popular destinations for the Muslims from that part of the world?
In Europe, we are lucky to have a lot of connections. With the evolution of low-cost carriers, going into Europe has been cheaper than ever before. Even flying into the Middle East is now very, very cost-effective. So European destinations, we feel, have a lot to develop in terms of halal-friendly services. Within the UK, I'd love to see more Muslims traveling within the UK, and we do have a lot of questions now and again. You know, are there any halal cottages or, you know, any Muslim-owned B&Bs, you know, around, and there are. There's not many, but there are. And, you know, the UK is a great place to visit. Not only London, but going south to the south coast, to some beautiful coastlines. And we don't know it. I'm guilty of it. I don't travel in the UK enough, and I should. But when we're looking at a more global scale, the lower cost of getting from place to place now is the cheapest we've ever been able to fly. Now we need to look at the hoteliers. We need to look at what there is to do in those places. One of my favorite places is Italy. I love going to Florence, but I struggle to find halal food. And if I do, I'm not going to find Italian halal food. I want to experience Italian halal food. I don't want to have, a kebab and roti when I arrive. I can get that at home. I want to experience Italian gelato or pizza, but I want to make sure that I know, it's prepared and it's sourced in a halal way.
In terms of the summit of this nature, we know that there has been maybe two or three before this, Malaysia, and I think this one coming up in Turkey. Is this a step in a certain direction, and has it achieved its objectives? What are some of the objectives that perhaps would come from a summit of this nature?
Yes, there have been a couple of examples beforehand, and I think that they all have their own benefits, and they've all made strides into raising the awareness of the halal-friendly travel sector. The key is, though, is we need to invite non-Muslim brands to come along, because that's where the growth is. The growth is in not only Muslim brands but non-Muslim brands as well. But that's where they have the power to create good PR, to create good vibes, and really promote the fact that the Muslim traveller is a very important part of the market. Another benefit for them is the fact that there hasn't been a new market for many years.
One of your presentations that will still be coming up later today is, what does the Muslim traveller really want? And if you have to sum it up in maybe 30 seconds, how would you describe that?
Well, the Muslim traveller is an individual. They are like every other traveller that we have in the market. Muslim travelers want to feel comfortable, and I have one of my points is that one person's luxury is another person's convenience, and that's so true for Muslims, because if you find somewhere that is comfortable, that is where you want to be home, that is where you want to go to, that is where you want to explore. So let's make Muslims comfortable when they travel, and see how the market goes from there.
Jazakumullah khair, thank you very much for your time, Nabil. All the best for your remaining presentations. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
تیری شان جل جلالو اے ہر ایک ذرے میں تو ہی تیری شان جل جلالو